Welcome to How We Got There. I am your host, Mike Davis, founder of Go-To-Market Guides. I interview thought leaders and founders in the Salesforce ecosystem to help ISVs learn new things to try and mistakes to avoid. This episode of How We Got There is brought to you by Tequity Advisors, a global sell-side M&A advisory firm with core expertise in B2B enterprise cloud, SaaS, and IT services companies. They are focused on SaaS and ISVs, Salesforce, ServiceNow, SAP, Microsoft, Adobe, and the MSP clouds. Tequity has already completed 22 transactions in the Salesforce and Salesforce ISV ecosystems. Visit tequityadvisors.com, that's T-E-Q-U-I-T-Y, advisors.com, to learn how they achieve great outcomes for their clients, both in valuation and in terms. All right. I am with Cynthia LeCornu, who is the global leader of the Salesforce Alliance at Avalara. Cynthia, welcome to the pod.
Hey, thanks, Mike. It's great to be here.
So I know you've worked at Conga, Aptis, and EY in the past. Can you tell us a little bit about what Avalara does, your role, and then a little bit of your history getting into the Salesforce ecosystem?
Yeah, sure. So I am the global lead for Avalara, helping to build out our global strategy with all our different regions of how we're going to market, what our product strategy should look like, what our go-to-market strategy should look like. And I'm just fortunate to have a fabulous team. We have a team of about 10 people that help drive this. You know, it's never a single person effort. It's a whole team effort. And I am just really fortunate to have a great team across all the different regions to help do that. I actually came into the Salesforce ecosystem when Benioff first launched the CRM product in 1999, when he was part of the Sun iForce Heroes program. So I've been working with Salesforce off and on pretty much most of my career.
Nice. From your experience working at a system integrator, how did that experience inform your approach at Avalara or otherwise on working with SIs as an ISV?
Yeah. So, you know, you have to, it all comes down to whatever, you know, you're, whether it's a company or whether it's an SI, you know, what are their goals? How are they trying to align within the ecosystem? What are their best practices and what clouds do they have the most experience on? And then, you know, it's hard because you need to be able to, depending on the size of the, obviously the SI, you need to be able to have a, you know, a focused practice around best practices and going to market efforts. And so I always found like the best thing was to start with sort of a baseline infrastructure, work with my SI to improve in one area and then move on to the either the next cloud or develop those so that eventually you have a strong base across the ecosystem.
And you mentioned goals there and aligning goals with the SI without sharing too much or sharing names. Can you give an example to folks who are listening of what a mutual SI goal might be?
Yeah. So for instance, you know, a goal might be that they have expertise in Commerce Cloud and they want to drive X amount of revenue within that cloud ecosystem. So, you know, how are they aligned with the product team? How are they aligned with the go-to-market team? And how do they build that expertise and environment? How is your SI building out those type of certifications and making those wins and you know, having those customer success stories? If you're doing all those things and they align with the way that Salesforce likes to do and build out their customer 360 vision, right? So that would be my recommendation to an SI is, you know, really being focused, bringing on really great people, looking for people who have those certifications, looking for the people who are hungry and want to learn and have that passion for Salesforce.
Nice. And either at Avalara or your time at Conga Aptis before that, what's the best go-to-market program you've ever created or the team's created?
You know, well, you're always going to want to have your marketing efforts aligned and so forth. I think, and I actually managed Deloitte when I was at Aptis/Conga. And, you know, I think the best kind of market program we did is I had Kim Peterson from Deloitte. So Cynthia, they attended our customer conference, and I made very sure to have the most comprehensive document for Kim Peterson and that time Tina Phillips to say, here's all the people we're going to meet, because at the end of the day, if you're in a position that I've been in, it's all about making sure those relationships are strong, those conversations are going on, the communication is going on, and then ultimately that's building into more of the RVP on the field engagement, right? So I think the program that I built in Conga, so that Kim Peterson was very connected around the CPQ practice, and we were just really mapping at a very high strategic level, but also getting really tactical is what works.
Oh, that's great. So it sounds like you put in a lot of effort to prepare your team and their team to understand what was going on in the partnership.
Yeah, and also to make sure that they knew our people. I mean, at the end of the day, if you can make those connections and if you can build those relationships to not only be, hey, here's professionally why you're going to want to know this person, but here's how, you know, our mutual strengths can be leveraged to bring, you know, mutual success. I think that's how you get a win-win.
Absolutely. And during your Salesforce journey and career, what are you most proud of that you've accomplished?
Oh gosh, there's been so many different things. Like I said, from what we did around Deloitte at Conga and just mapping towards them, to the iForce Heroes program that started at Sun, and just to seeing the company, as Salesforce has grown, being able to be part of that ecosystem and learn every day. You know, I don't know if it's I can put in my hand on one single thing, but I know that I love that I get up every single day, and the first thing I want to think about is how do I help my company and Salesforce find the best strategy so that we have great success together.
Yeah, I love that. And on the flip side, what's a mistake that you've made along the way that might save listeners some hours, days, weeks to avoid themselves?
You know, there's some key basics that you have to understand to maximize out in the Salesforce ecosystem. So understanding how the Trailblazer score, whether you're an ISV partner or an SI, understanding how to work those levers and get your maximum points and rise within the tier of the partner community from base all the way up to summit. You know, you asked one of the things that I've been particularly happy about is that in those roles where I've actually had responsibility for driving up that tier, you know, if you understand those basic fundamentals of those four tiers and what the goals and the values of Salesforce are and what your goals are, and you can maximize out that Trailblazer score, I think that's got to be like baseline 101. They understand that really well. And then you can move into like your strategic relationship building. You can look at how your company maps to the Salesforce ecosystem, what clouds you can have expertise in, where your biggest gains can be by product. I think the biggest mistake is that we all get overly enthusiastic. We want to expand rapidly. And, you know, there's so many different opportunities in the Salesforce ecosystem. Being able to stay focused can be a challenge. So I would say, as for anybody that's in this role or a company looking to do business with Salesforce, build your initial framework, and then go from there.
Yeah, you bring up a really good point. I mean, there's so much opportunity, so many clouds, and they release new ones all the time. I had a count that was actually pre-Dreamforce this year, but Salesforce sellers can sell 42 different products. Mm-hmm. And so I'm sure after Dreamforce, that's closer to 50. And like, if you squint at something as an ISV long enough, you can probably see where your application could help that product. And it's just really challenging. You bring up a good point around focus. And I'm just wondering how you think about prioritization when everything could be a good opportunity.
You know, it's the old adage of, you know, what's your business case look like? What's the kind of revenue? What's the total addressable market? What's your company's? I've been with companies who, you know, have thought that they could build a product and then 6 months realized, you know, building can be a longer vision than they want to bite off, and they've aborted and the partnership didn't work. And so it's got to be a true commitment to Salesforce. And if you study Salesforce, you look at their growth and you look at the value of a Salesforce customer versus a non-Salesforce customer, it's a hands down win for both companies if you can make those right decisions and then be very committed to it. It's not something that you can go in and you know, sort of have a half, be have one foot in, one foot out. We're going to try it out. You really need to make sure that you're committed and that you're willing to put in the effort to make that success for both companies.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of mostly composite apps. I think for native apps fully built on Salesforce, it's mm-hmm. a lot easier to be all in. Mm-hmm. But I've seen some of those composite apps dip their toe in with, we'll just call it, not a lot of success when you're dipping your toe in.
Right, right. You got to have a strong commitment.
So as the time of we're taping this, we're heading into Q4, not really sure when it'll be released, but Avalara, previously publicly traded company that you work for, is going private again, getting taken private by Vista Equity Partners, which is super exciting. Just curious, what's changed, if anything, and what do you see as up next from that?
Yeah, no, I got to tell you, Avalara is, you know, the longer I'm here at Avalara, the more that I just get amazed with the content and the platform that Avalara has built out. I don't think people realize how many tax jurisdictions and how complex it is. You know, if you think about the number of regions and the number of counties, and you start thinking about tax, it sounds like, oh, well, it's a 7% or it's a 10%, but there are so many different jurisdictions. And then when you start thinking about European and cross-border and VAT tax and so forth, it's probably one of the most complex systems that you would ever have to create. I have great admiration for Brian Schwierz, who does CPQ for Salesforce, because when you think about even that CPQ and all the process around that, it's a pretty big story, right? But with Avalara, I am just so impressed. If you ever have a chance to sit on a conversation with Sanjay, our chief product officer, and see the strength of this platform and the content. I mean, Avalara is actually building out their platform very similar to how Salesforce built it out, all in the cloud, all available for what you need to give. I mean, we align perfectly with the Salesforce Customer 360 vision. And I think that's a great strength for Avalara. So I see this Vista move as just another great way to empower Avalara to go to the next level. I know Salesforce has a great relationship with the Vista. And so I'm all in. It's a good thing.
Oh, that's great. Thanks for that. And I'm curious if you can speak about your SI partner program at Avalara. Like, how do you think about like targeting the right SIs? Because there's over 2,100 of them globally. Like, how do you think about partnering and down selecting to the ones that will have a win-win for both them and Avalara?
Yeah. So that's another question, right? That can be pretty complex in how you would think about that. It does come down to a little bit of like bandwidth, resources, skill sets, experience. If you're trying to really, really build out, I'm hands down, the G6 that Salesforce aligns to are the same G6 you want to align to as well. But that's a pretty big investment. We at Avalara, I'm glad that we have a group that focuses in not only from a SI Salesforce Cloud go-to-market perspective, from a partnership perspective that I manage, but we even have a group dedicated to how they're taking global tax within those big six, the Deloittes, the Accentures of the world, right? But that is a big investment, and you need people who understand how to work that ecosystem and align with the G6 counterparts within Salesforce. And then you break that down and you get into the companies that are like the top SIs within a cloud perspective. So if you take Revenue Cloud, for instance, and you look at like A5, I mean, just hands down, Salesforce ventured backed, you want to look at those. And so depending on the size of your company, it has to be, hey, we're going to pick a couple of horses that we're going to ride to the races with and be very focused. Trying to be everything to everyone is probably the worst strategy you could do in building out an SI strategy.
That focus word coming up again, both for around which clouds you integrate to, and also which SIs you look to go to market with.
Yep.
Nice. Well, heading into next year, what are you working on these days?
So we just finished working great with Kevin Whitley and Darsen. They were fantastic at Salesforce, but we just built out a subscription management offering that we're super excited about. You know, we align with B2C and B2B and Commerce Cloud and Sales Cloud and Revenue Cloud and so forth. So we are now looking at really how do we make enhanced VAT across the world the best of breed for customers, and how do we align that with Salesforce? Because we think that's the next big win. That and e-invoicing. At every conference we're at every product conversation that we have, customers are asking us about e-invoicing. So we're laser focused on moving that and putting that as part of our, it's already part of our strategy. But I would say that's kind of the thing that's next for us. It's just being really the best of breed in those two areas.
Nice. And just as we're wrapping up here, you and I were talking before we started to record around the ISV partner score. Mm-hmm. And obviously, when this gets released, this window for point totals will be closed. For folks that don't know, what can you share about like the ISV partner score and how best to maximize Avalara's performance on it?
Yeah. So a couple of things that are really helpful. I would highly suggest that anybody in any kind of role with Salesforce that's on a Salesforce team trying to build out their partner strategy, introduce Trail Tracker into your Salesforce ecosystem internal in your company. As I've been in charge of doing our score, I personally was having to call everybody I knew to find out how many Trailhead badges they had and then make those Trailhead badges linked to partner community. And I would spend a solid week. I was able to get our Salesforce team to install that into our Salesforce ecosystem, found out we had 2000 plus badges. It tells me every single person, how many badges they have. It also helps me look at, you know, as you're going climbing within your Trailblazer score, you get free certifications, and it helps you kind of look at how you distribute those certifications. Like, who are the people that are really trying to up level their careers within your company and reward them for that? Right. So I would say that's one point that I would highly recommend. Customer reviews, it's an ongoing situation where you're constantly out there trying to get your customer reviews. Try to get ahead of the game on that, because those always take longer and those points, you know, count. Your technology adoption survey, make sure that you understand what they're asking. You work with your product team to make sure that there's things that we've been able to do now that we weren't doing 6 months ago, that we can now click, you know, check off that box on the technology adoption survey. So really understand that. I think I kicked this whole podcast off with saying, you know, a basic fundamental is understand those levers, because if you understand those levers, there should be no reason why you can't get your company to crest in a reasonable sense of time. Now, getting to Summit is all about ACV. And that ACV is going to be all about the strategic, the relationships, the account mapping, and what your overall strategy is. And that ACV is key to Salesforce, and it's going to be key to you. And don't be afraid to pay to play. You cannot jump into a Salesforce ecosystem and not be willing to, you know, whatever your PNR agreement is. You've got to be able to have a PNR agreement that you're paying enough to Salesforce to turn their head, so that those, you know, Salesforce AEs are getting quarterly. I think I've heard in some of our different, you know, conversations that I've had with Salesforce and so forth, you know, typically you want to try and drive a 4 or 5 figured ACV if you can. And some of those happen to be on the enterprise level. Everything counts. Not going to, you know, disregard that every win will count. But understand what you can do to drive that mutual success around ACV.
Yeah, a couple of great points in there to unpack, but I'll take the last one first, because the PNR that ISVs can pay, it's agreed upon in your contract, and obviously follow your contract, but especially if it's a composite app, you can choose how to monetize the AppExchange portion of it. And what a lot of partners like decide between is like, hey, are we going to give up margin but improve our relationship with Salesforce, or are we going to protect our margin, but then you don't have the table stakes required to have a seat at the card table, so to speak. So that's really good advice. And I've heard some partners kind of struggle to choose which path they want.
Yeah. You know, one of the things, Mike, that I just value about Salesforce is their heart is in the right place, right? I mean, their values, if you look at their values, you look at how Mark's built their culture, it's just such a great company. And they are gracious enough to allow you, all they want you to do is be able to pay the 15% revenue on something that is consistent and monetizable and so forth, because you have to report that on the COA and stuff. And it does come down to that, you know, they're not saying you have to pay on X, Y, Z. They're saying you pick it and then we'll write that agreement around that. And that's where you have to come in and say, is what we're aligning to and what we're willing to pay on ACV, are we giving enough to them? Because they will give back to you, in my opinion and in my experience with Salesforce, Salesforce will hands down give back to you if you're giving to them. And it's sort of like the mantra of life, right? The more you give, the more you get. And I think partners really, when they're writing these P&R agreements, they need to think about Salesforce in that way, because I don't see Salesforce being overly greedy at all. I see that there is probably one of the most fair companies in the world. And I think that you have to really think that through and come at it with that same kind of heart.
Great advice. So we're going to move into the final three here, Cynthia. Rapid fire questions, 10 second answers. You ready to go here?
Sure.
Who is one company or person in the ecosystem that you track or follow?
Tyler Prince. I actually had an experience working with him, so I follow him well.
And what would you tell yourself day one of working in the ecosystem?
If you're given a seat on the rocket ship, take it.
And lastly, what gives you energy in your personal life?
Undoubtedly, my family. And then after that, I think it would be just the people and our friends that we come in contact with, creating experiences for them that, you know, make their lives a little better.
Awesome. Well, hey, Cynthia, thank you so much for spending some time with us and sharing all of your knowledge and experience. I really appreciate it.
No, it's been a pleasure, Mike. Thank you. And I think what you're doing for these partners is truly amazing. It can be a complex ecosystem at times, but I think what your company is doing is great. So congrats.
Thank you. Thank you very much. All right. Take care.
Thank you for listening, and I hope you learned something from today's episode of How We Got There. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure to subscribe on iTunes and leave a review. I'll see you here next time.